Yeah, you can applaud for that. What a story. Wow. Well, once again, we are in the month of December, barely, but we're still there, and we're still emphasizing international missions, and we began the month of December with a week of prayer, and if you've not yet prayed for our missionaries, maybe that will be the encouragement that you need, and you'll find some prayer guides that are still out there at the Welcome Center, and also the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that supports our international missionaries. So I would encourage you, as we kind of wind down the year here, that you'll make sure that you're supporting missionaries just like the ones that you saw in the video there just a moment ago. Thankful for people who are willing to go into the hard places and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So pray for our missionaries. Well, I have come to the end of my Christmas series, which is a good thing, is it not? Because Christmas was last week. It's in our rearview mirror. So I'm going to try to kind of wrap up Christmas today, and I've been preaching from Luke's gospel, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2. I want to pick up where I left off last Sunday morning in verse 8. As I was thinking about Christmas, my daughter and I were riding to church this morning, and there was a song playing on the radio that reminded me of a story, and I wanted to share it with you today. A man by the name of Gerald Wolf, that's probably a name that's familiar to some of you. He is a Southern gospel singer with a trio called Greater Vision. Gerald's just a wonderful guy, but he told the story that several years ago that one of his neighbors down the street had passed away. And the wife, the widow now of the man who had died, came to Gerald because he sings in a trio and says, "We'd like for you to sing at my husband's funeral. Would you mind singing at the funeral?" And Gerald said, "Well, sure, we'd be glad to sing at the funeral. And just, you know, whatever you'd like for us to sing." And she said, "Well, one of his favorite songs that I'd like for you to sing at the funeral was Jingle Bells." And Gerald said, "Jingle Bells at a funeral?" She said, "Yes, that was one of his favorite songs." And so he said, "Well, all right, we'll sing it." And so he said, we practiced it, and we slowed it down and tried to sing it maybe a little slower at a funeral. So anyway, there at the man's funeral, said they sang Jingle Bells. And when the funeral was over, the lady came up to him and said to Gerald these words. She said, "I am so sorry. It wasn't Jingle Bells. It was When They Ring Those Golden Bells." That's his favorite song. So. Oh, anyway, this morning while I was driving to church, I was looking on my radio, and they were singing When They Ring Those Golden Bells, and it just brought that story, and so I apologize, but I wanted to share that with you today, all right? So it helped wrapping up the Christmas season. I'm preaching this morning the sixth and the final message in a series that I've called The Real Christmas Story, and again, my title suggests, with the emphasis upon the word real, that not every Christmas story is the real Christmas story. As again, last night, even late at night, I was looking on my phone, and I was just doing some searching about Christmas stories. And by the way, there's a lot of Christmas stories. There's one I like to tell that I haven't told this year, and I'm not going to tell from the pulpit this year, about a young boy who was a little bit large for his age and a little bit slow, a young boy by the name of Wallace Perling, and he was cast as the innkeeper in the Christmas story. And I've told that many times over the past several years, not telling it this year, but it's a great story, and I love to tell it, but it's not the real Christmas story. There are a lot of great stories that are just not the real Christmas story. The real Christmas story is found here in the Word of God. And I want to read today, beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and I want to read down through verse 14, and this message today that I'm calling, Tell the Good News. Would you stand with me as I read God's Word? Luke chapter 2, and verse 8. And it's fitting, I think, because last Sunday morning we looked at the birth of Christ, and of course, last Sunday was Christmas Eve, and now Christmas is kind of in the rearview mirror. He's already been born, and so we're looking at what happens after Jesus was born. And these familiar verses, beginning in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, says this. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Would you listen to verse 11? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Pray with me, please. Father, today, thank you for your word. Thank you once again for the opportunity to gather in this room with these folks and worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the music that we have enjoyed today. And I pray now that as we open up these verses, as we look into them, that you'll look into our hearts. And Lord, I do pray that as we look toward a new year, that you will impress upon us the need to tell the good news with everyone that we know. And so, Lord, we thank you for the missionaries. Again, the story we've heard today, and we've heard all month of December, of our missionaries who are serving around the world, telling the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that you'll bless them. I pray that you'll meet their needs today. And so, Lord, right now, open our hearts to receive what you have to say to us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Everyone likes to tell good news. If there's some good news you like, to share it. Our son is graduating from college. That's good news. We're going to have a baby. That's good news. Our daughter is getting married. Not sure about that one. That ought to be good news. No, I'm just kidding you. And I say all that today to say to you that here in the ancient land of Israel, on that first Christmas, that there was some good news that needed to be shared. Something good had happened. Back in the second chapter of Luke again, verse 7, the Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The birth of that baby is good news. But that baby, as we all know, was no ordinary baby. And so that the Christ child had been born, but now it was time to tell the good news to other people as well. And so my text this morning records to us the first time that the good news of the birth of Christ was being announced. And so I want you to look at these verses with me today on that theme of tell the good news. I want you to first of all look at the hearers of the good news. Look at verse 8 with me for just a moment. For verse 8 says, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The hearers, the first hearers of the good news, the Bible says they were shepherds who were taking care of their flock. In the ancient day, it was not uncommon to see shepherds out over the hillsides taking care of their sheep. As a matter of fact, even in the modern day, if you travel to the nation of Israel, you'll see that there are still shepherds taking care of their sheep. Shepherds were humble people. They were simple people. They were guardians of the sheep, doing a very simple job. As you probably know, they would carry with them a rod and a staff. And of course, Psalm 23 talks about the rod and the staff of the shepherd. The rod would be that little short club that they would use to protect the sheep and to defend them from wild animals or scavenger dogs. The staff was that longer stick that had the crook on the end of it that the shepherd would use to gently nudge the sheep to keep them in line. And so they had a rod and a staff. But a shepherd would also, another tool of the trade, if you will, would be a flute. Sometimes at night, whenever it came time for the sheep to bed down, they would play the flute. They would also carry with them a cloak for the cold winter nights, and also a bedroll to sleep on. They were out in the open. And so they were just humble, ordinary people with a task of taking care of the sheep. Again, as Psalm 23 said, the task of the shepherd was lead them to the green pastures, to lead them to the still waters. And so that was their job. The shepherds were not the upper crust of society, if you will. They were humble men taking care of sheep. However, having said that, I'm also reminded that whenever I read my Bible, that there are many prominent people in Scripture who were also shepherds. Genesis chapter 13 tells the story of a man by the name of Abraham and also a man by the name of Lot, and the Bible says they were shepherds. They had flocks. Then you read in the book of Exodus in the third chapter about a man by the name of Moses, and he was out taking care of his father-in-law's Jethro, his flocks as well. And then you also read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 about a young boy by the name of David and his father Jesse, and he took care of his father's sheep. And so they were humble people, but yet there were many people in your Bible that you know very well who were also shepherds. And even when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he called himself the Good Shepherd. And so the first people, I think it's interesting, to hear the good news of the Christ child being born were just common, ordinary men. They were shepherds. May I say to you this morning, most of the world is made up of common, ordinary people. Most of the people in the world are common people. Most of the people, they will never be on television. They will never have their name up in lights, if you will. They will never be well known. Most people will not be the people who acquire millions of dollars and everybody will know who they are and they're rich and famous. Most people are just common people. Most people are just common people like me. Common people like you, all around the world, the friends that you have, most people are just ordinary, common people. And I think it's interesting that whenever God said, I want to announce the good news of my son being born, he just went to some ordinary people. Jeff and Sherry Easter have a song called, I think the title of the song may be Ordinary People, but it says, Ain't It Good? I didn't say he was an English major, he's a singer. Ain't It Good that God loves people like me? Aren't you glad? God loves people like me. God loves people like you, just common, ordinary people. I'm grateful that one day the gospel of Jesus Christ came to the west side of Oklahoma, to a little town called Burns Flat, where a little boy named Keith Russell was, so that I could hear the good news that Jesus Christ had been born into the world. I'm grateful that I now, for almost 27 years, have been able to stand in this pulpit on the west side of Jacksonville, Florida, and say to just common, ordinary people, God loves you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The first hearers of the good news, the Bible says, they were the shepherds. And oh, it's my privilege today to tell you, if you've never heard it, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he loves you and he can save and change you. So that's the hearers of the good news. I want to talk to you a little bit now in the next few verses about the heralds of the good news, verses 9 and 10. The heralds of the good news. I don't know why I chose that word. I guess because of that song that we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I've said before, you know, when I read about angels in the Bible, most of them aren't given names, but I know about Gabriel and I know about Michael. I'm still looking for Harold. I haven't found him yet. But yet the scripture says these are the ones who announce the good news. And so the heralds of the good news were angels. Now, if you have a hard time believing that there are angels, you're going to have a hard time believing the Christmas story, and you'll have a hard time even believing the Word of God. But when you come to that little word, angels, I'm looking at verses 9 and 10 now. The Greek word there is angelos, and is a word that means a messenger. Whenever you read your Bible, you come to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, and the writer of Hebrews says that angels are ministering spirits. The Bible indicates to us that they are God's ministering spirits, and they are dispatched at God's bidding to go wherever He wants them to do and carry God's message to whoever He wants them to hear. And so they are God's ministering spirit. Billy Graham years ago wrote a little book. He called them God's secret agents, angels. And whenever you read your Bible, you'll find that they are everywhere. And so whenever God's Son was born in Bethlehem, the Bible says that the angels were dispatched by God to come to the fields where the shepherds were, and they were taking care of their sheep. And so they become the heralds of the good news. We learn a few things about that first Christmas night. Number one, we learn that it was night, for the Bible says they came at night. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night. So in my mind, I'm picturing it's dark, it's black. I mean, when you live out in the fields like where they lived, out probably there somewhere in Bethlehem, out in the area around that area, it's a very barren, desolate kind of land, and it's dark. There are no street lights there like in a large city to light up the area. It's dark. And so they're in the darkness, and the stars were bright. I guess we always kind of assumed that it was winter time, that it was cold, and maybe there was a fire that's going on, although we don't know that. But whenever I think about that, I think it's symbolic, if you will, of the world that Christ came into. It was a dark world that He came into. It was a cold world that He came into. So, but we know that it was a darkened world. And if you remember Zechariah's song that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 79, Zechariah said that He's come to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. In a dark world, in a cold world, we could also say even in a somewhat a pagan world, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. By the way, that's the world that needed to hear the good news. And may I add to you today, this is the world that needs to hear the good news. Because our world is also dark and cold. So let me say a few things about these angels who came and announced the good news. Number one, I want you to see the angels, they surprised the shepherds. The scripture says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." Now, try to imagine this, if you will. You're a shepherd out on the hillside, and it's dark at night, and all of a sudden, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The word lo, some translations say behold. My translation, the Russell translation says lo and behold. I mean, it's a surprising thing. The angel showed up, and the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone around about them. I think back to the Old Testament Shekinah glory. The glory of God was shining bright in that darkened sky. And so here it was, whenever they were taking care of the sheep, the angels came and surprised them. I want you to see a second thing. Also, the Bible indicates to us that the angels scared the shepherds. And the Bible says, and they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. The little word sore, it translates the Greek word megas, megas. We hear it all the time in our world. Mega, it means large, it means huge. You hear about a store and they might call it a mega store, or you may hear about a church and they call it a mega church. And so that's the word that he's using. They were sore afraid, and the word afraid is phobio. And really, if you could translate it in English, it might say something like this. They were hugely horrified. They were largely scared. And so here they were in the darkness around about them. All of a sudden the angel shows up. The heavens are filled with the glory of God, and the Bible says they are afraid. Matter of fact, some commentators I read said that that little word phobio can be translated agitated. And what that would mean is they were out there in the darkness of the night, and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord shows up, the angels are there, everything's bright now, and they are agitated because of it. When I thought about that, I thought, well, that's possible, because what happens is whenever you are in darkness, your eyes adjust to the darkness, right? After you've been in it a while, your eyes adjust and you get comfortable with the darkness. And so they had adjusted to that, but when the light comes on, it's agitating, it's irritating. It's kind of like whenever you walk into somebody's room and they're sleeping at night, and you walk into the room and you turn on the light switch and they wake up and their eyes, they're agitated by the brightness. And so, by the way, in this dark world that we're living in, your eyes can adjust to the darkness. As a matter of fact, your life can adjust to the darkness. And what happens is whenever you get adjusted to the darkness of the world that we're living in, whenever the light of the gospel shows up, sometimes it agitates people. And so it may be that that's what it's saying. The Bible was saying now they're scared. And so the scripture says they announce to them that there's good news that is coming. Good tidings. I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's the word good news. So he takes what was once they were hugely horrified. Now the Bible says they are having great joy. And I think that's so like God. What God does whenever he dispatched these angels, they showed up and met exactly what these shepherds needed. They were afraid, and God shows up with the angels. And that's the third thing I would say. The angels soothed the shepherds as well. This angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy." Oh, and the good news is that's available to all of us. So when I think about this, the heralds of the good news, they were the angels who announced the coming of Christ. Here's my question for you today. Who are the heralds of the good news today? Who's supposed to share the good news today? I'll tell you who it's not. It's not ABC. It's not NBC. It's not CBS. It's not CNN. It's not Fox. It's not ESPN. Do I need to go on? None of those. It's not their job to share the good news. The job of sharing the good news is people like you and people like me. Those who have heard the good news and have believed the good news are responsible to share the good news. Just like the angels knew that Christ had been born, they were dispatched by God to go say to those shepherds, "Hell, tell the good news." And so that's what we're supposed to be. We've been dispatched by God. That's why we have the Great Commission in our Bible. We've been dispatched by God to tell the good news, to announce that a Savior has been born. I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was Christmas time. It was almost Christmas time. I don't remember what night of the week it was. But I had a card, and on that card was a name of a young couple who had visited our church recently. And so it was nighttime, and I decided I'm going to see if I can find this young couple and visit them before Christmas. I found their address. It wasn't too far from here. But I found their address, and whenever I came up and pulled up to their house, it was a little trailer house. And I remember distinctly that there was a window in the front of that trailer house, not a large window, but a window, and they had taken Christmas lights and they'd put around the window celebrating Christmas time. I walked up to the door and I knocked on the door, and thankfully the young couple recognized me, and thankfully they even invited me to come into their house. And so I came into their house, I sat down in their living room to share the gospel with this young couple. They had two little girls, as I recall. Unfortunately, there's only one of them that I remember her name. One of those little girls, was named Angel, just like the angels we're talking about. Her name was Angel. Now, that's an easy name to remember, right? And so anyway, I sat down to talk with them, and as I began to share the gospel with them, the dad said to those two little girls, said to the girls, "Why don't y'all go back into your room and play while we talk with the pastor?" And they did. They went away. And I just very simply shared the gospel with that young couple. When I got through sharing the gospel and telling them how they might know the Lord and how they might be saved, I asked both of them, I said, have you ever given your heart to Christ? Have you ever prayed to receive Christ as your Savior? Both of them said, we have not. I said, would you like to tonight? And they said, yes, we would. And so I asked them to bow their head, and we began to bow our heads, and we began to pray. And I began to pray like I do sometimes here, and I asked them, I said, if you want to trust Jesus, just pray these words after me. And so we kind of went through it. God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know that Jesus is God's son. We went through the whole plan of salvation, and they prayed. And after I had prayed, and they had prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, whenever I said the final amen, those two little girls who were supposed to be back in their bedroom, they'd come to the living room, and they were standing right there behind Mom and Dad. And whenever we said amen, looked up, those two little girls were standing there. The little girl named Angel, she started applauding. You know what that reminded me of? Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Listen, folks, our job is to herald the good news. And whenever we herald the good news, the Bible says, even the angels of God began to applaud. Let me ask you a question on New Year's Eve. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you attempted to lead somebody to faith in Jesus Christ? I'll talk more about that at the end of the day. But I'm going to tell you, as you look forward to 2024, what a great, if you make resolutions, what a great resolution to say, Lord, this year, I want to tell people about Jesus Christ. Give me an opportunity to lead somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. So we look at the hearers of the good news. They were the shepherds. We look at the heralds of the good news. Those were the angels. Don't miss this. Look at verse 11. I said a while ago whenever I was reading this that you need to pay real close attention. But look at verse 11. This is what I call the heart of the good news. And the heart of the good news is a Savior has been born into the world. Let me say three quick things to you. Number one, the good news is personal. The angel said this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. It's interesting to me because when I read that text in verse 8, the Bible says he was speaking to the shepherds, and that's plural. And now when you come to verse 11, he said unto you, and that is singular. And so whenever you think about it, God was saying to these shepherds, God came personally for you. For God so loved the world, that is plural, that whosoever believeth in him, that is singular. I'm telling you, God loved you. Jesus loves you. As the old song says, Jesus loves me, this I know. But we can also say, Jesus knows me, this I love. Jesus came to you personally. He came for me personally. But notice the second thing. The good news is also purposeful because he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I like that word. A Savior. It means a deliverer. It means a rescuer. A rescuer is somebody who saves. Jesus was born to save us from our sin. Jesus was born to save us from hell. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when the angel showed up to Joseph, said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Later on in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, don't miss this, my dear friend, that the Bible says that whenever Jesus came, he came to be a Savior, to save us from our lostness. And then also thirdly, the good news is pointed because it said this Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I like that. He spells it out for us. There's only one Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ means he's the anointed one. Christ means he is the Messiah that the prophets had talked about. Lord means he's the master. He is the boss. That Jesus Christ came into this world and he's the only Savior and he's the only one who can change your life. Let me say this and I have to move on quickly. I think sometimes the modern church, and I think maybe even sometimes myself, I think sometimes we miss, and we're not telling people the main reason Jesus came was Jesus came to be a Savior. That's why he came. Even sometimes I was listening to some of our songs this morning, and I'm looking for, are we telling people that Jesus came to be a Savior? And what I mean by that is sometimes today what we do is we talk about, well, Jesus will mend your marriage. Or if you let Jesus, he'll fix your finances. Or if you give your heart to Jesus, he will fill up the emptiness inside of you. If you give your heart to Jesus, that he will give you purpose and direction in your life. I want to say today, all those things are true. But Jesus first and foremost came to be a Savior. But whether he mends your marriage or fixes your finances or fills your emptiness, that's the byproduct of salvation. He came first to be your Savior. That's whenever God sent his Son in the world, he didn't send us a marriage counselor. He didn't send us a financial advisor. He sent us a Savior because we're lost and without hope without him. So don't lose it. Jesus is first and foremost a Savior. That's the heart of the gospel. Verse 11, don't miss verse 11. That's the heart of the gospel. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I tell you, that's good news in 2023, on the edge of 2024, that no matter who you are, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that was lost, and he'll save you today if you'll ask him to. One last thing. Look at the hope of the good news. Verses 12, 13, 14. Just a word about verse 12, verse 13, and verse 14. The hope was, by the way, when the angels, keep it in its context, when the angels came out to the fields there and they announced the good news of the Christ being born, the hope was that they would find him, that they would go and find the Savior. And so notice what happens. Number one, verse 12, the angel gave some clues. And this shall be a sign unto you. The word sign is found 29 times in the New Testament. It means this shall be a token. This shall be a mark. This shall be an indication. You're going to go look and try to find this Savior that was born in Bethlehem. I'm going to give you some signs. I'm going to give you some things to look for. What are you going to look for? Well, notice what it says. Number one, this Savior will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, that's not unusual. Because the Jewish people, whenever the babies were born, they wrapped them in swaddling clothes. It means strips of clothing. They wrapped them like that so that they would be warm, so that they would be safe, so that their arms and their legs would go straight. So they wrapped them in swaddling clothes. That's not unusual. But here's another clue, the angel said. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That is unusual. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. Now, so if you think that you're the shepherd and you're going into Bethlehem and you're looking for this Savior that's been born, you're going to look for one who's wrapped in swaddling clothes, but you're going to look in a manger. You're probably going to go someplace where the animals are, where a manger might be found. And so he's giving them some clues whenever you get there. By the way, that narrows the search a little bit, I would think, looking for a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And then secondly, look at verse 13. The angel was joined by a choir. Suddenly, the Bible says, this single angel was joined by what the Bible calls a multitude of the heavenly host. Here's the question. How many is a multitude? Well, a multitude is a word that means an innumerable amount. That is, a number that you can't count. You say, well, I think there were probably 50. You can count to 50. I think there are 150. You can count to 150. You see, whenever I think about a multitude of the heavenly hosts, in my mind, it's almost like, you know, God may have emptied out heaven of all the angels to announce the birth of his Son. Whenever I think about this heavenly host, I see them as they span from horizon to horizon. As a matter of fact, if you really want to get technical and you look up that word multitude in your Bible, it actually translates a Greek word myriad, which means 10,000. And so, you say, so there were 10,000, but here's what you need to know. Myriad was the largest number in the Greek language. They didn't have a word for any number larger than that. And so there's a multitude of the heavenly host. I don't know how many. It is an innumerable amount of angels, and you picture the sky covered in with the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. And the scripture says they're singing. Look at verse 14. What are they singing? The angels gave a concert. Oh, just go slowly through this with me. It was a concert of praise. They said, glory to God in the highest. We'll stop there. Glory to God in the highest. The word glory means honor. It means dignity. It means praise. Glory, this honor, this praise to God. Now, remember, they're talking about this baby that's been born, and what they're trying to let us know is that little baby is not an ordinary baby. That little baby is God come to earth, wrapped up in human flesh. Glory to God in the high, the God who created everything that is, the God who parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. That's the God that he's talking about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the angel began to sing, glory, glory to God in the high. Remember that? I don't know if we've sung this song this year or not. Remember that song, Angels We Have Heard on High? And you come to the chorus. Oh, you remember the chorus. The chorus is that little part where you go, glory. You know what I'm talking about? Gloria in excelsis Deo. And you're scratching your head saying, what is all this? Glory in excelsis Deo. What is that? It's Latin. It is Latin for glory to God in the highest. That's what they were singing. Honor, dignity, praise to glory of God in the highest. So remember that the next time you're going, glory, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, remember that. It was a concert of praise. Now, secondly, notice that it was a concert of peace. They said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Now, a lot of people have gotten hung up on that. And I want to say this to you today, just real quickly. He's not saying that Jesus came to bring world peace. Are you listening? If Jesus came to bring world peace, then Jesus is a failure because we don't have world peace. He's not talking about that. He's talking about an individual inner peace that he will bring to every human heart that will trust in him. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friend, you can have peace with God by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. It is a concert of praise. It is a concert of peace. Thirdly, notice this, and I'm done. It was a concert of possibility. Out on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That is, peace is possible for those who place their trust in God. And so men can live in peace if they place their faith in God. We do not have the human capacity to produce a lasting peace. The only real and lasting peace comes when we place our hearts in Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace is the only one who'll bring peace to the whole world. And so they sang a concert of praise and peace and possibility. Gene Bartlett was a songwriter and a man that I knew. He wrote this little song in 1968. I don't know if you've ever sung it before, but the title of the song is Tell the Good News. Christ was born in a distant land. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. Lived on earth for the good of man. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. The chorus says, tell the good news. Tell the good news. Tell the good news that Christ has come. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. Tell the good news to everyone. That's what the angels did on that first Christmas night. That's what God wants you and me to do in 2024 and all the days of our life. Tell the good news. And our our friend David Burton likes to say, it's only good news if people hear it in time. We want people to hear it in time. I close with a story I read years ago in a book by the name written by a man named Herschel Ford. Herschel Ford was a longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church in El Paso, Texas. And he tells the story of a certain senator, and I don't know his name, and I don't know what state he represented, but he was a United States senator living in Washington, D.C. His father, who was rather aged, was also living with him because he needed somebody to be a caretaker. And so this senator, this U.S. senator, had his father living with him. And Herschel Ford tells the story that the senator invited the ambassador from Belgium to come to his house for dinner one night. And so they were going to have company, if you will. And so the senator got his father aside because his father was a dedicated Christian man and a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the senator got his father aside and he said, "Dad, I've invited the ambassador from Belgium to come to have dinner with us tonight. But please, don't say anything that you ought not to say or do anything that you ought not to do." And you know, this was his way of saying to his dad, "Dad, don't talk to this guy about religion. Don't talk to him about the Lord." So he just said to dad, "Dad, don't say anything to the ambassador from Belgium. Be on your best behavior." So the story says the day came, the night came, the dinner came, and whenever the ambassador from Belgium arrived, the senator took him over to introduce him to his dad, and the first thing that his dad, when he shook his hand, "Glad to meet you," he asked him the question, he blurted it out, he said, "Are you a Christian?" I don't know how the rest of the conversation went, but the senator was embarrassed, and he apologized to the ambassador for his dad's comment. Well, the rest of the story says that a few months later, the senator's dad became very ill, and he eventually died. And when they had the funeral service, because he was a senator's father, they had it in a very large church, and there were many people and many dignitaries who come, and also because he was a senator's father, there were lots of beautiful flowers there that people had given, but the story said that there was one arrangement, one spray of flowers that was it just stood out among all the others. It was larger and more beautiful than any of the others. And when they went to the card, they found a card on it, and they found that particular arrangement was from the ambassador from Belgium. And on the card was a simple note that was written. And it said this: "In honor of the only man in America who spoke to me about my soul." Tell the good news. Tell the good news. Tell the good news that Christ has come. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. Tell the good news to everyone. Amen. I just wonder, is there someone here in this room today? Maybe a young person. Maybe a young adult. Maybe a senior adult. Is there someone in the room today who would say that as you look toward 2024, that you would say, "In 2024, I want to tell the good news. And I would like for God to use me to lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ." Oh, it's wonderful that the scripture says, "She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." That's wonderful. But somebody has to tell the story. Somebody has to say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Could you be that person? Could you today say, "God, in 2024, Use me to tell the good news and lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer? Here's my invitation today. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And I want to invite you, number one, I know probably most of you in this room today, you have already placed your faith in Jesus and you know him as your Savior. As a matter of fact, you could probably stand up right now and tell me the time, the place, whenever you gave your heart to Jesus. But let me ask you again today. When's the last time you spoke to somebody about their soul? I wonder when it comes time for you and I to die, if anybody will say, oh, I'm so glad that he spoke to me or she spoke to me about my soul. I wonder today if we were to slip out from this world somehow today or tomorrow or sometime this year, if we've ever even tried to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. So it may be in just a moment whenever we stand to sing that if you are a child of God and this has resonated in your heart and God's speaking to your heart, that maybe today you ought to come to this altar and just spend a little bit of time praying here at this altar and saying, God, today I want to be used to tell the good news that Christ has come. God, please use me to lead someone to Christ in 2024. Well, there might be someone here this morning. You say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Christ. I believe what the Bible says about him. I believe he came, he lived, he died, he rose again. I believe all that. But I've never given my life to him. Would you today be willing to slip out from wherever you are in just a moment and come down one of these aisles, take one of our pastors by the hand and just say, today is my day to give my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's something else God's spoken to you about. Whatever it is, I pray you'll do it. Father, today, thank you for your presence in this room. And Lord, right now, I pray that you're tugging on the hearts of many folks in this room. And Lord, just explaining to us what it is you want us to do. And Lord, I do pray that the only answer you're going to hear from us today is yes. God, if that's what you want, then help us to obey. Lord, thank you that a long time ago, the angels were dispatched from heaven to tell the good news to the shepherds on the hillside. And God, I believe in my heart, even today, that you want to dispatch us from the west side of Jacksonville to wherever you want us to be, at school, at work, in our neighborhood, God, to tell other people that Christ has come. So, Lord, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're doing right now, what you're going to do during this invitation time. We give it totally to you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing today right now? There's something God wants you to do. If you need to come take one of these pastors by the hand and say, this is what God wants me to do, come do it. If you just want to come to the altar and pray, come do it right now while we sing.